On November 15th, get some exercise with Perks. This year's Fall Classic Run features great race benefits, including a complimentary beer, $20 gift card on New Balance products, free food, music, medals, and much more. New this year, we also have low student pricing. Run the 5K for just $15, the 10K for $25, or the half marathon for only $35. Registration is filling up fast, so hurry. Visit fallclassicrun.ca for more information and to register. CITR and Stomp Records proudly present The Real Mackenzies live at the Rickshaw, Friday, November 13th. With extra special guests, The Brains, The Isotopes, Lost Kung Fu Monkeys, and Rude City Riot. Come celebrate Stomp Records' 20th anniversary in style with good music, good friends, and great times. Hit up stomprecords.com for more info, music, and swag.
Tune in to African Rhythms every Friday from 7:30 to 9 o'clock with your host, David Love Jones, as he plays a heavyweight selection of classics from the past, present, and future. This includes jazz, soul, hip-hop, Afro-Latin, funk, and eclectic Brazilian rhythms.
Lots of people, they take it like a game.
We just played Velvet Dinosaurs and their latest hit, Eating the Plate. Now, let's go to the phones and hear what you have to say. Go ahead, caller, you're on the line.
Master Dirty Red Scum! Take it in the teeth, Red Hats!
Really?
Kill!
That's really
kill! Bad. Kill! Filthy bastard tummies! I hate them! I hate them!
Okay, well,
You know, maybe you should relax a little bit. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Welcome to Transition State.
Time.
All right, all right. Check my mic, 1, 2. Welcome, radio fans. You're listening to Transition State on CITR 101.9. You just heard Glenn Hansard and Marketa Irglova singing Falling Slowly. Glenn Hansard is playing at the Orpheum Theater tonight, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are still available. Upper balcony, $25. Not too bad. So this is Transition State. I'm your host, as always, Adam. This is the show that is dedicated to bringing pharmaceutical awareness to the community. Since it is cough and cold season, I have a dynamite interview lined up for today. It's me and pharmacy student Mo Kazam discussing the pharmacotherapies involved in symptomatic treatment of cough and cold, as well as flu. So stay tuned for that. But first, we are going to hear some music, some more music. Now, I want to preface this by saying that this show, although we are dedicated to bringing pharmaceutical awareness to the community, we are also dedicated to raw amateurism. So the music that I'm about to play is not what you would call maybe professional. It's not polished, and there are certain maybe what you call might call mistakes in it. But I think the power is more than made up. Those deficiencies are more than made up for by the power of the rawness of just the amateur. You can just kind of taste their heart and soul in it. So I want you to pay more attention to that than, say, the production value in this next track. This next track is called 2.0. By the time you hear it, it'll probably be a number one hit with some synthesizers, et cetera. But you can always think back to the time you heard it originally on campus radio on the show Transition State on CITR 101.9 FM. Could everybody hear that? Some technical difficulties going on. Let me just try and fix that here. Okay. Well, sorry about that. I'm going to work on the technical difficulties. Until then, I think we are going to hear something else that it's kind of amateur, or at least it has low production value. I'm going to hear from a guy with a guitar. His name is Ed Sheeran. Maybe you've heard of him. This is just because it sounds good. So 101.9 FM.
Oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know that something wasn't right, yeah? Oh, baby, baby, I shouldn't have let you go. Cause now you're out of sight, yeah. Show me how you want it to be. Tell me, baby, cause I need to know now. Because my loneliness is killing me. And I must confess, I still believe. When you're not with me, I lose my mind. Give me a sign. Hit me, baby, one more time. Ooh-oh. Ooh-oh. No, baby, baby, the reason I breathe is you. Yeah, you got me blinded. Oh, pretty baby, there's nothing that I wouldn't do. It's not the way I planned it. Show me how you want it to be. Tell me, baby, cause I need to know now. Because my loneliness is killing me. And I must confess, I still believe when you're not with me, I
not with me, I'll choose my mind.
One day in March it is 3 a.m. and I'm standing there naked at the side of your bed. Your phone is ringing, her name is lighting up the screen. Hey. You smirk, say, babe, I can't imagine why. Excitement is dancing in your bright blue eyes. I'm thinking I can't fade her, but what was never mine to lose. We're still trying to figure this out. Cause you and I, we see each other and we're filled with doubt. Cause you and I, we're trying, yet on and on, we're still trying. Why? Oh, why? When I know that you keep another lover.
Not bad, right? That was Alisa singing 2.0 for the heart of all amateur music. Before that, we heard Ed Sheeran playing Britney Spears. And before that, of course, Glenn Hansard falling slowly. Welcome to Transition State, fellow listeners, radio fans, and cool people everywhere. We are going to hear some more music before we talk about cough and cold pharmacotherapies. We are now going to hear from some awesome musician. Her name is Laura Resnick, and the title is Be My City.
And I'm stealing words, the kinds that other people use. I'm running farther from myself, becoming someone else.
And we're back. Thank you, Laura Resnick, for that amazing voice and awesome instrumental accompaniment. So those of you who have heard this show before, which is Transition State, you will know that this show is dedicated to spitting knowledge at the public. So that's what's about to happen in the form of an interview I did earlier this week with ACE pharmacy student Mo Kazam. I'm going to play that interview for you now. I'm going to preface it by mentioning that it is incredibly amateur, as in for the love of the game. It's sort of anti-professional, but I do that on purpose because I really think we're overloaded with professionalism when it comes to getting pharmaceutical knowledge out there. All you get is the inserts with your drugs, or you get like these press statements, which are highly professional but not really informative. So this is the opposite. This is something totally legit. This is just two students talking it out over nachos about pharmacotherapies. And so we say things that might not be entirely accurate, so try to take it with a grain of salt. But still, I think it's worth getting out there. So here's me and Mo.
That's right. So I want to start talking about some pharmacotherapies.
Sure.
First of all, what is the difference between... Okay, wait. Actually,
oh, wow. Wait. First of all,
I have to preface this by giving like a disclaimer and letting our listeners know that
this is not professional medical advice.
No.
This is two students just trying to keep our learning process alive. So we still have to write tests. I'm sure you make mistakes just like I do. This isn't, like, if you have a serious medical problem, please consult a doctor or a healthcare professional. Ask a real pharmacist. Don't just listen to an amateur show on college radio, okay? But that said, let's try and get through this.
And let me preface this by saying that I have not, I don't think my therapeutic knowledge is up to par.
We have not prepared or rehearsed for this.
Exactly.
Okay, we're just going to do our best. So, what is the difference between a cough or a cold and the flu?
The cold and the flu.
Or what's, okay, what's the same or what's the difference?
So a lot of the symptoms with the cold and the flu may be similar.
Yeah.
The flu is basically caused by a different organism.
They're both viruses usually.
Okay, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and then the symptoms you have with the flu may be fever.
Yeah.
You may have a bit of sore throat, malaise, so just feeling really tired, fatigue, things like that. Whereas the cold is just like you have a sore throat, you're coughing, a lot of sputum, you feel like there's something
at the back. Congestion,
runny nose, things like that.
Well, yeah.
That could be in both, too.
There's a lot of overlap, but I think the fever is a big one that differentiates with the flu.
Definitely.
And if you've had both of them a few times, you can kind of start to tell the difference.
Definitely. I also think the tiredness factor is more so with the flu than just the cold.
Yeah. Cold just takes that edge off. The flu can really put you down.
Okay. Do you feel that both of them are self-limiting, meaning that they resolve by themselves?
Or? Yes, they are.
Okay.
And both of them, neither of them can be treated with a drug. There's no drug for the flu, and there's no drug that will just cure the cold. Right?
That's correct. You're just basically trying to help manage the symptoms that you have with our drugs. Yeah.
Now, the other difference is that the flu, like, influenza can actually get, like, super serious, and we've had, like, pandemics where, like, hundreds of thousands of people have died from the flu. That's never happened with the cold, right?
No, that's right.
So we have, like, preventative measures for the flu.
Such as the flu shot.
The vaccine. So our listeners might not know, but in fourth year, what you do is you get injection certified, so we've both done that. So I did my test, like the practical poke test last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Did you pass?
I did.
You get your certificate?
I haven't picked it up yet, but.
All right, I got my email. I am certified. I could inject you right now.
That's right.
I'm good at it too. Okay. So there's the flu shot.
Yeah.
You down with the flu vaccine?
Yeah.
Okay, me too. But there's no vaccine for the cold?
No, not to my knowledge.
We just treat it symptomatically.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, symptoms, I want to walk through the drugs. So say somebody has a cold, and you go into the cough and cold aisle at Shoppers or wherever, and it's a nightmare.
I agree.
There's a zillion combo products. There's like 50 types of Benylin, 50 types of Tylenol, 50 types of Advil, and you're like, what?
Which one do I pick?
So let's try and simplify it for people. Let's go through the symptoms of, let's say, cough. So how do you treat cough? With a class of drugs called antitussives.
Right.
What are anti?
So antitussives are basically, they prevent you from coughing, basically.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it.
And cough reflex is, I don't know, even.
There's two different types of antitussives. You either have a dry cough.
Yeah.
Or you have a wet cough.
Where you're producing like.
You're producing a lot of.
Yeah, coughing
phlegm. Yeah. And things like that. And if you have a dry cough, you basically want something to soothe your throat. That could be any product that contains dextromethorphan, DM.
Yeah, DM.
And then if you have a wet cough, that could be any product that contains guaifenesin. I always mispronounce.
Guaifenesin.
There you go. So what that does, it loosens the phlegm in your throat and it makes it easier to cough out.
Yeah.
So you clear everything in that area.
Yeah, that's called expectorant.
Expectorant.
I just mentioned that because that's a weird word and you don't even know what it means. You're like, what is expectorant? It just means it loosens up that phlegm.
So that's simplified right there.
Okay. There's also codeine.
codeine is also an antitussive. It's used to treat pain.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people know.
It's an opioid analgesic.
Opioid analgesic gets converted to morphine. Yeah. That's for different discussion.
Yeah, but it's soft.
It's very soft, and it also is used for dry coughs. You don't really see it.
I don't think it's been traditionally used as that. I don't know if it really works.
Yeah, I don't know that either.
I wouldn't personally take codeine for a cough.
There's some products, I'm sure you're aware, like that treat both a dry and a wet cough too, and they work in opposing mechanisms. So that doesn't make sense.
I would rather take. Yeah, okay. The point to my listeners is that with those combo products, it seems like you're just getting more for the same, but you end up taking drugs that you don't need, you're going to do damage. What's best to do is know your symptoms and choose as few products as possible. If you only have one symptom, just treat that one. If you have two, then choose two.
I agree.
If you have three, then choose three. But don't like try to just treat everything like whatever.
I have an analogy for this. So it's like a vacuum that can perform a function.
Yeah.
So the main function of a vacuum is to basically clean the area, correct?
Yep.
So if your vacuum plays like music, has Bluetooth, it like connects to your cell phone, it has multi-functions, sure, it's great and it's very convenient for it to do all those different functions, but it may not actually do its main job as effectively by performing those other functions. So I always tell people that like if you have a combo product, sure, they're great that you have everything all in one, but if you don't have those symptoms, I don't see a reason for you to like take Tylenol, for example, in one of those products if you don't have any pain.
Right.
Or if you don't have any fever.
Right.
So that's my personal opinion.
Well, the biggest one for me that I personally got kind of burned by was the next set of symptoms that I want to talk about, which is congestion. So for congestion, there's a go-to decongestants, which include
pseudoephedrine.
Phenylephrine,
xylometazoline, oxymetazoline,
vasoconstrictors.
Yeah.
Okay. And so those, let's just basically, okay, so that class of decongestants, they're in almost all those combo products. They're really easy to throw in there. And sometimes you need them, and they're great. They dry up the mucus, and I find them really effective. But if you don't need them, then what you do is you dry up the mucus, but that mucus is what you need. If you're trying to cough something up, say you have like a respiratory virus in there in your lungs, the way you get it out of your lungs, it's not going to come out by gravity or by breathing. You have the mucus and the ciliary cells and you cough it up. That's how you do it. If you take the mucus out of the equation, you're not going to get rid of that. And it's also your protective barrier. A lot of times it's cold. Vancouver's not so bad, but in Alberta, like this time, it's cold air and you lose that protective layer of mucus.
Yep.
So when you breathe in this cold air, it's going to be harsh on your whole respiratory system. So don't take a decongestant unless you need it, people. Unless your like nose is just dripping, and you can't breathe or something, don't go taking decongestants just because you don't need them.
It's really a nice point that you bring up because we also have the topical decongestants.
Yeah.
Like the Dristan spray.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff. Those are, I don't know, is this xylometazoline or oxymetazoline? Anyway,
I do not know.
They're topical decongestants. I remember we were told that if you actually use them too much, more than 3 days, you can get rebound congestion.
Right.
So what that is like you use it too much, more than 3 days, your congestion actually gets worse.
Right.
You can get headaches and things like that. And it's actually not treating your symptoms. So like you said, if you don't have to take it, don't take it.
Okay. So we've done the cough, the antitussives.
Yeah.
We've done the decongestants. What else is there?
Antihistamines. Why don't you tell me about that?
So sometimes you get like the scratchy eyes. For seasonal allergies, I know antihistamines, but what does antihistamines have to do with cough and cold?
Antihistamines basically prevent any signs of allergy.
Guess what time it is?
Happy hour?
3 o'clock.
Okay.
That's okay. I just wanted to let you know.
Okay. Thank you. We got to choose that. Okay, but let's finish this.
She was very excited.
Let's finish this.
They basically prevent histamine from exhibiting all of its responses, whether that be like your eyes reddening up or your skin, if you have rash.
rash.
Yeah. Or if you have, I believe histamine also, doesn't it cause something to do with you? It has something to do with mucus, doesn't it?
My understanding of it is that, you know, your immune system is this complex thing, and one of the players in your immune response, including like a response to a virus, is the histamine. So antihistamines block that histamine receptor, and a lot of times your body's going to clear it out. You don't need the histamine reaction. Yep. You can just take that out of the equation and you'll still be just fine. So that's what antihistamines do. What are the antihistamines? But I know a lot of times they're in products.
There's like different generations, if you remember. There's like first generation. Yeah. Benadryl, the classic is an example.
What is Benadryl?
Benadryl is...
Benadryl's a brand name, and
Diphenhydramine. Yes.
Okay. First generation
antihistamine. A lot of times it's used for sleep, but we'll get into that later, I'm sure.
Well, I just want to say right now.
Yeah.
First generation antihistamines cause drowsiness. And a lot of the time I think they're added to combination cough and cold products just for the sleepiness.
To help you sleep.
Because sleeping it off actually really helps.
So you're basically using the side effect of the medication for its main use, basically.
Right.
That's really important.
Right. And I'll just finish that by saying that second generation antihistamines do not cross the blood-brain barrier. They do not get into your central nervous system, so they do not cause drowsiness. Those are your non-drowsy.
So an example could be like Reactine.
What's Reactine?
Cetirizine. And then Claritin, which is Loratadine. And then there's Arius, which is Desloratadine. It works faster than Loratadine because it's...
Those won't make you sleep.
Yeah.
Those are fast acting.
Seasonal allergies.
Yeah. Okay. But what are other first generation antihistamines usually in cough and cold products? There's Benadryl, which is diphenhydramine.
There's chlorpheniramine. Yeah.
Okay.
Those are the major two.
I think so, yeah. Those are the ones you see. And then, other than that, there's analgesics.
Analgesics, like Tylenol, Advil.
Usually acetaminophen,
ibuprofen, naproxen, Aleve.
Yeah, okay.
Aspirin is technically...
Yeah, sometimes. Usually it's acetaminophen or ibuprofen.
Very true.
So, I guess, I just want to, I guess, like, kind of give our listeners a chance to, like, decode these combo products. But if you see this all-in-one product, and you see something like acetaminophen, pseudoephedrine, chlorpheniramine, and dextromethorphan, you can kind of say, okay, the acetaminophen is for...
The pain or fever.
Right. The dextromethorphan is for
the cough, dry cough. Yeah.
The diphenhydramine is to
help you sleep and prevent any signs of allergies.
The pseudoephedrine is for
a decongestant to loosen the mucus.
It's not that complicated.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
No, I think you did a great job just explaining the different components of combo products. But like I said, if you don't have all the symptoms, you don't need to take a combo product.
All right. And I want to talk about guaifenesin a bit, too. For a while, guaifenesin was my very favorite drug. It was my favorite drug because it has no side effects. It really has no side effects and no drug interactions. It's like a super safe drug, and it does one thing. It just loosens that phlegm down there when you're trying to cough something up, and it does it really well. It doesn't try to like be this all-in-one everything.
Have you taken it?
Yeah, I take it all the time. Like, when I get a cold, at first, it's just like cough, and a lot of times it's dry, but usually towards the end of it, I'll have this stuff in my lungs that just needs to come up, and it's like hard to cough up, and I have guaifenesin at night. I take a syrup, and then the next morning, it's just like cough. Oh, it's all this gross stuff, like, out. Goodbye now. Instead of, like, spending all day trying to get it out, it's just gone. I find
so
it
you said
good.
It used to be your favorite drug, but what is your favorite drug?
Right now?
Yeah.
Well, I think I've asked myself, like, if I could only have one drug for the rest of my life, and I don't know if it would be acetaminophen or morphine.
Oh, wow.
Pain is something I cannot deal with. Pain is something that kills me. It takes me right out. So I wonder if on the one hand, acetaminophen is super safe and you can take it for any kind of little pain, but morphine caffeine is like for the big pain. So I wonder, like, which would I rather have? No big pain or no little pain?
Acetaminophen is the drug I use the most.
That's fair.
I feel like for morphine, you could even, couldn't you dose it like accordingly? According to your pain level?
Tiny little dose of morphine? I don't know. But like, I've dislocated my shoulder. Like, when you get serious pain, man, I don't want a bunch of herbal product. I want something that like gets right into your pain system and shuts her down.
You brought up an interesting point. What's your opinion on herbal products, natural health products?
I love herbs, honestly. I love natural health products too. They're not for everything, and that's it. That's just what you gotta know. But they're safe, generally. I mean, there's some sketchiness, and there's also the aspect where people like to play it up and act like it's this life-saving cure. You see all these bogus claims made, and that annoys me. But in general, I have no problem with somebody taking herbs because they're safe.
So when you open up your own pharmacy, are you gonna have a lot of
absolutely
natural health products?
I mean, I don't like the idea of making money off of it.
Yeah,
a lot of them are really expensive, and I don't like the idea of making money off something that like actually doesn't do much. But I have no problem with people taking them. And I'd like to have like some good stuff that like I trust in. I like to have some low cost stuff, and then they can buy that from me. But if you get something serious, like a bacterial infection,
yep,
you're gonna take an herb for that. Then we can't. We're not connecting. We're not understanding the same thing going on here. There are drugs that can do that really effectively. And there's some, even though like I don't know. I'm sure certain like oil of oregano or something has like antibacterial properties, but it's not. It's just not going to do what you need to get done right now. People used to die of infections, and now they don't.
Very true.
Just
going back to the immunizations, just I'm really excited. We're both like immunization certified. What are your thoughts on like vaccination in general? I know like the media has talked about like some people are pro vaccine, some people are not pro vaccine.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
I just think it's an interesting point of discussion.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a group that's pro vaccine, there's a group that's anti vaccine, and it's easy to make it seem like it's sort of a undecided like point of contention, like, oh, it's still not sure, like there's two views and neither one is more right than the other. But on the one hand are the people usually in the one camp who are pro vaccines are the people who spent their whole life in medicine, and on the other camp are people who know nothing about it. No offense, but they're just regular people, or they're, I don't know, Jenny McCarthy, and like, no offense, but like Jenny McCarthy spent her life in acting and in Hollywood. Like, what does she know? But everybody's entitled to their opinion, but like, don't act like your opinion is just as valid as an expert who knows everything. Like, come on. So when I look at it and I see on one side of the argument is everybody who knows about it, and on the other side of the argument is people who know nothing about it, I'm leaning towards the one side. But I also want to say that the side who knows, the pro-vaccinators, do bring a lot of criticism upon themselves. Because they do, even though they are right and even though they're trying to do good, they do go around telling other people what to do with their bodies, and that's not their business. Sometimes they get, I think when it's done right, you just explain to them the benefits and risks and let the person decide. But that's not always what they do. Sometimes they act like they just tell you to get your shot and you should do what they say.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous to expect people just to follow what you say because you have some science degree.
It goes back to the whole paternalistic.
It's their body, it's their children, they get to decide for themselves. Don't act like just because you proved something in some laboratory nobody's heard of, that you have a license now to go tell regular people what to do with their bodies and their children, and that they're all just going to follow you. You need to. That's why it comes down to education. If you educate it right, people will make that choice intelligently.
Good point. Yeah.
If you start bullying people into doing what you think is right, you're just part of the problem. But generally, I'm pro-vaccine. That's a smart thing. It's one of the smartest things we've ever invented.
Do you think everyone should get free vaccines?
I don't know. That's a tough choice. I'm not good at the big picture stuff. Like, it seems expensive. And I think, like I said, I think people are over-drugged. I'd like to see it for flu, I don't know. I don't know. I honestly just don't know.
Well, for BC, it's free.
The flu shot is free?
Well,
but, like, shingles vaccine is free.
No, of course not.
Not everybody needs that, so.
I mean, I don't even know how things are done, like, internationally. Like, if you go to like, Europe, for example, is the flu shot free?
I have no idea. I highly doubt it, because it seems expensive. Although, don't they have, I think some European countries have, like, pretty well-funded
public health care systems. Maybe. It'll be an interesting thing to look up.
And there is, I mean, it is in everybody's best interest, but there's also, whenever you deal with immunology, there's the second side of the coin, which is you're basically just breeding super bugs. You might beat them temporarily.
Very true.
But you're not, like, beating bacteria. You're not going to just beat the flu virus. It'll just adapt, and all you're doing is kind of encouraging its evolution, so, you know?
But I mean, mankind has tried to guess at which strains the flu vaccine will hit each year. So we're doing a pretty good job every year predicting. Like, that's how vaccines are produced. You basically predict which strain of the virus will affect the most people the following year.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of times people who get the vaccine complain that, oh, I got the vaccine and I still got sick. Well, that could be because of a variety of different reasons. One of them being they didn't predict the particular strain as well as they could have.
Yeah. Do you know what this year's strain is?
I don't.
I think it's the same. I think it's H3N2.
As last year?
Oh.
Interesting.
And then, but the flu shot that you get here isn't just one flu shot, right? Is it four? Quadrivalent?
Yes, I think so.
I know one of them is Phuket, like some Phuket strain. we'll have to check that.
Yeah, have you gotten yours yet?
No, I'm getting it next week. Oh. Massey's giving it to me.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know Massey?
Yeah.
We're certified and we agreed to, like, inject each other, but he wants to wait till after. He's writing his OSCEs.
Oh, yeah?
I think he's writing his OSCEs, like, tomorrow. Right? So he doesn't want to be, like, he doesn't want to have some immune. Okay, wait, let me ask you this about the flu shot. So I was down in the pharmacy, and we kind of served the downtown east side, so there's that population, and I asked one of the patients, have you got your flu shot? And he said that he had colitis, which is sort of an autoimmune-related thing, and therefore he should not get the flu shot, is what his doctor told him.
Okay.
What would you say to that patient?
So he's an elderly gentleman?
No.
Oh. How old?
But he didn't look particularly healthy. Like, a lot of them are living on the street and dealing with addiction and mental health.
His doctor told him.
That's what he said. He was quite authoritative, and so I sort of thought in my mind, like, no, but I wasn't confident enough to, like, kind of...
Well, I think both of us need to know more about the story, but... I mean...
But having colitis isn't a contraindication to the flu vaccine.
No. From what I know, the only contraindication to the flu vaccine is if you're currently... It's not even a contraindication. If you're currently feeling unwell, it's not really recommended to get that in the same day. Just because you could feel... Because your immune system may get weakened. The only major contraindication is if you're allergic, if you have, like, anaphylaxis, shortness of breath, emergency response to any of the ingredients that were used in the development of the flu vaccine. So I'd have to consult the doctor, but I don't see why.
There are different types of vaccine. And some are, like, live attenuated, where it's sort of the actual virus in a weakened state.
Yeah.
And actual virus, like, provokes your immunity to it. But there are others where it's not that. It's just circulating immunoprotection, basically.
Yeah.
And so I think that first kind, where it's the actual live attenuated virus, it's not contraindicated if you have autoimmune disease, but it's contraindicated if you are, like, immunosuppressed. If you have HIV or something and you actually don't have a working immune system, then introducing this...
Or if
if you're on corticosteroids, immunosuppressants.
But an autoimmune disease is, and in any case, I don't think the flu vaccine is a live attenuated vaccine.
I have to check on that.
No, I don't think it is.
You have to check.
Okay.
The only reason I say that is because we just try to get certified for our immunizations, and we had to do the whole process. I'm sure you're aware. We had to do like a bunch of modules.
Yeah, I know. But a good pharmacist will always check that information. You don't want somebody to just...
That's true. You don't want to say wrong information. That's why I always say I'll check on that and get back to you.
Right?
Yeah.
You want them to.
Okay.
Well, I think we've got some good knowledge for our listeners out there this week.
Well, I'm glad. I hope this is something you can work with.
Absolutely.
And hopefully we'll see where the discussion leads us in future sessions.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks a lot for being with us this week, Mo.
Thank you, Adam, for having me.
Yeah,
it's been a pleasure. Take care.
Bye.
You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Yeah, it's your man DJ Tamil, and when I'm up in Vancouver, I'm chilling and listening to 101.9, the best station in the whole Canada. What?
Who's love?
And we are back. You're listening to CITR 101.9. How's my mic? Broadcasting on the airwaves through the ether from UBC campus in Vancouver, BC. You just heard from Fist City. The track was The Mess from the album Everything is a Mess. Wasn't that awesome? And before that, we heard from Flint. The song was Purify Your Soul, and the album is Explicit Warning. The album title is Fuck You, I'm Dead. So that just about does it for this week, radio fans. I hope you enjoyed the Cough and Cold expose interview with Mo Kazam. Thank you very much, Mo Kazam, for being with us this week. We're going to have some great interview for you lined up next week. I'm talking to addiction activist Chris Cull. And so tune in for that next week at the same time. Coming up right next is Dunkin's Donuts. So he's obviously going to be playing some tasty treats. Tune in for that. But before that, we're going to hear from one more song. This is Leah Barley. The album is Close Your Eyes, and the song is Drip Drop. I figure that's a pretty apt song to play today. So until next week, radio fans, stay cool and stay pharmaceutically aware.
Drip drop, drip drop. When will this rain ever stop? 'Cause I'm going, insane. One, two, three, four. Pacing around on the kitchen floor, 'cause I'm going, insane. Won't somebody please start to come back again? Won't somebody please tell the sun to come back again? Drip drop, drip drop. When will these tears ever stop? 'Cause I'm going, insane. One, two, three, four. Curled up in a ball on the kitchen floor. 'Cause I'm going, insane. Won't somebody please tell my baby to come back again? Won't somebody please? Thank you. drip drop, drip drop. When will this rain ever stop? 'Cause I'm